Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the call.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we have one of our special regulars here today. We don't know if she's going to be Susie Sunshine or Debbie Downer, but let's welcome back Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. What's up, Angie?
Oh, not much. Just digesting the USDA numbers, as important or unimportant as you think they are. You know, the nice part is that we've had a decent market reaction to them. You know, I said prior to the report coming out this morning that I did not care as much about the actual numbers as I did about the market reaction. So, you know, of course, you and I are talking, well, the market is still trading just after the numbers have come out, so everything could change here in the next 2 hours. But at this point, a positive market reaction to what could be construed as somewhat negative numbers in both corn and wheat is nice. I mean, I think we've probably established that the bearish information for corn at least is factored in, and now we can focus on what we're going to see for demand over the next 12 months. You know, here we start the year for real now, now the focus is on demand, and well, I say the next 12 months, the focus will be on demand until we get to next April when we start talking about the new crop production. But for now, here we sit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I said, I texted everybody and I said, you know, all my people, I said, I'm going to the report long. In fact, I'll buy more if it gets down to 345, because again, I'm a guy that believes that the markets know much more than I do, and they've already priced in information. And these guys were pounding into this. And I think one of the obvious factors is they couldn't break it. I mean, they tried. Now, they may break it later, but I mean, they tried and tried and tried, and they could not break the market. So from my perspective, I got to be a buyer into that. What about you?
No, I agree. I mean, that's what, we put in a new contract low in December corn prior to the report coming out. You know, at this time that you and I are talking, we're 9 cents better than where we were. So that tells me that, yeah, they tried to break it. I mean, they did. We had held that 944.5 for whatever since August 31st. There's a lot of arguing or discussions being held about whether or not we would open the door to a 325 or something like that, you know, as we move forward. And at this point in time, it looks like the market's not in a hurry to go there. I mean, of course, you could see something new come out, and we may start to see a little bit of falter here because we're still concerned over what we're going to see with NAFTA developments. I just saw a rumor hit that we may withdraw from the agreement, or at least that's kind of the fear that we have. Which could weigh heavy on corn, but at this point, the market, even with that coming out, the market doesn't seem to really care. It does appear as though, like I said, the worst at this point is factored in. The most bearish information you can have is pretty well factored in. We did see an increase in corn feed usage expected this coming year. There is some concern over first quarter ethanol, but I guess we'll have to see you know, what the market brings on that side. And then, you know, now we're going to be paying attention to what develops in South America. You know, now more than anything, we're going to be looking at the La Nina threat down that way. And that appears to be more of a threat today than what it was last week even.
Well, you know, again, I don't worry about any of that stuff. Me personally, I mean, you know, again, I think that you guys get too involved in all these reports. And again, I'm fully convinced that the money, if you follow the money will show you where it should be going. And I think that when you get to levels that are very depressed, I mean, you know, I can't imagine us going, you know, I could see 325 or 320 in corn. That's always a possibility. But again, to me, that's just, goofy talk when it yeah. comes down to it. Because eventually, it's the same thing when they run them up to four something, on a weather issue. When everybody's piling in, where are they going to go? They can only go down from there. And just like we get down to these levels, yeah, they can go a little bit lower. I never would say they can't go lower, but I'm not somebody who would be afraid of them going lower. And you and I have talked about this before. Either I'd store it and wait, or they're going to pop. And I think they're going to pop, and I think they're going to go back higher. And I think there's a chance we could see $4 before the end of the year.
Dude, and I will send you a batch of cookies. They won't be homemade because I don't do that. But I would love to see them hit $4 before the end of the year. I really would. I struggle with that unless we see a significant shift in money flow, which could happen. If we can get through this NAFTA negotiations without losing any of our legs into Mexico, especially because they're our biggest buyer when it comes to corn and stuff like that. If we can get through that and not lose any skin in that game, and if we start to see values firm up, basis values, which there hasn't been a lot of talk about it because harvest has been slow. So that's been our biggest struggle right now, is it's almost like what you're seeing in the cattle, but on a different, a different scope, of course. The cash values that are paid have been slow to come into the marketplace. And so that's been a struggle too, is we're really not seeing what actual production looks like. And there's still a chance that we could get into some lower production numbers, especially since harvest hasn't really gotten going, throughout much of the Corn Belt. But I'd love to. I think 375 has been the scope that I've been looking at for December. But I do think that means, if you see these corn go to 375, then you're going to see that May, July opportunity above four. So I can't argue that you would see a four on the screen. I don't know if we will see with the December, but I would love it.
Well, I think
I would love it. And I know all my customers would.
I think there's a good chance you could see a four print on yeah. even December, because look, my thesis is based on that the equity markets are going to at some point here sell off, and I think it's going to be before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think, where's that money going to go? Well, it's going to go into what they would call a value asset, which would be right now would be corn. Corn and wheat are what I would call value trades right now. Soybeans have popped a little bit too high on this on the number. I mean, and I'm still, just because they've gone through 977 on the way up, I'm not so sure they'll hold there. Now, again, listen, they're 992, so we'll see. But I would think that there's a very good possibility that if the equity markets break, the money's got to go somewhere. And I think that's one of the things that have kept prices depressed, is that we haven't seen any outside money. People that don't, not from farmers, not from producers, but from people who just want to invest. I don't think we've seen any of that money coming to these markets for quite a while.
Yeah. If we could see that, if we could see that money transition or that money flow get to where we start to see that money come back into commodities, then yeah, I'll sign right up with you on that one. I mean, because it doesn't necessarily have to do anything. It's not required to do anything by any means. But once you get that money coming your way, it's a nice solid wave to get you. So, so I sit here and I say, well, 375, that's my target without money flow. That's my target if nothing stays, if everything stays the same as it is right now on the money flow side. If we do see that money flow shift, which would be awesome, I mean, that's the thing that I've been hoping and waiting to see here for forever now, it feels like, watching the equity markets just continue to rally. If we can get that money flow coming our way, then yeah, I think corn and wheat are definitely value trades. Wheat especially. I'm more bullish on wheat.
Me
than
too.
I
am too. And I did call $6 wheat, which we got there. So I can't, I can take credit for being right there. I was wrong on corn. It didn't get as high as I thought it would get, but I don't know. Uh-huh. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk about NAFTA and why you think it's so important, because I don't think it is. But we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We are with Susie Sunshine. No, actually, we're with Andy Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator, and someone who said that she promised she'd get me some speaking engagements. We'll see. I'm still waiting for her, just like I'm waiting for Iowa TV. But anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day and hear great guests like Angie. And you can also hear the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And make sure you get Bubba's Daily Update, which you can get just by emailing me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com, or go to the website and sign up for it. I'll send you a free every day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you right back after the break with more from the goddess. It's the time. Welcome back to the Todd Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer. And she's also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator and America's number one hedger. And today she is Susie Sunshine. And she's still working on getting me taken care of, so we'll wait for that. But all right, dear. So what is, why is NAFTA so important? Why would things change so drastically, even if we bumped and changed the NAFTA agreement or stopped NAFTA?
I think more so, and I'm not one to get into the intricate details of the trade. Prior to NAFTA, you know, there were ways around exporting corn into Mexico. You had to export. It was listed as something different, or you had to basically negotiate whose tariffs, you know, who's going to cover the tariff here, cover the tariff there, sort of deal. And I think it's more just a headline risk. Than anything. Does it really matter long term? Probably not. But the idea that we are pulling out of something that is a free trade agreement between both Canada and Mexico and ourselves, I think would cause a bit of a dip in the market structure just because of the fear that we could lose business. Now, if you've been paying attention to our export pace as of late into Mexico, it might indicate that the buyers, you know, the Mexican buyers down that way are working to get everything booked solid ahead of any sort of change in that agreement. So from an overall standpoint, you know, to me, I can't say that it would be a life altering deal, because even then you have an excessive amount of freight. You want to bring corn in from South America into Mexico. Okay, that's fine. But any additional freight that you have to pay, is probably going to be offset. You know, you can offset the pay in the tariff for the freight difference or something like that. But it's more of a headline risk, I think, than anything at this point in time, simply because of the unknowns that would be associated with removing ourselves from that agreement, you know, at least at face value. It would probably really impact our meat industries more. Pork exports, we already are really relying on maintaining significant pork exports, and that could have an influence on that as well. So I just, more than anything, headline than actual detail risk, I think, is associated with that.
Well, now you're a trader. You know what the hell's going on out there. Now let's talk about headline risk. You know, headline risk is meaningless. And actually, headline risk gives smart people the opportunity to take advantage of the headline risk, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't argue with that at all. I look at it from the standpoint of risk. When I say headline risk, I mean risk to my farmer. So you could see, you know, as a farmer, he's just trucking along, you know, it's a Tuesday, everything's fine, there's no problems whatsoever, the market's trading $3.53, not excited, not in pain, you know, yada, yada, yada. Oh, I'm going to have to sell some corn, maybe, you know, this is him thinking to himself, I'm going to have to sell some corn probably Friday, give it a couple days and see what's going to happen. And he rolls the dice, and all of a sudden you get a poor headline on a Wednesday and the market's down 30 cents or something like that. You and I both know that the market will recover, but the short-term panic that ensues in the farmer is really hard to deal with, you know, for anyone. And so you try to talk to the farmer, you know, if you know that you have to turn bushels into cash or something like that here in the short term, you want to get it done, yada, yada, yada. And oh yeah, they'll tell you. And you turn around and they don't. And then as soon as something like that happens, you get that headline that causes a significant market move to the downside. And then they panic.
Right. I want to clear that up before you continue on, because you're doing such a great job. But yeah, that is exactly my point, that they panic ahead of time. And we are, yeah, here we are, we're ready to rock. And this is an opportunity. It's a better opportunity for farmers. And this is what we talk about, the emotional trade all the time. Okay. We know that emotional trades are always wrong. Okay. That's, you know, when I was a floor trader, the number one thing was when you could see their tonsils, no matter what they were doing, give them whatever they want, because they're wrong. And that's kind of what you're talking about, is headline risk. And if we start to worry about headline risk, then at the end of the day, then the people that panic and puke are out, and it leaves it open, wide open for the people that understand how the markets actually function. Don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's what headline risk is headline opportunity for someone who's looking for volatility to come back into the market, you know? And so, yeah, for someone like you or a farmer or you know, someone on the outside that does understand that, you know, it's the best time to buy is when there's blood in the streets kind of deal. You know, that is the perfect opportunity for a speculative entry into the marketplace. The hard part for me is having to spend the day, weeks, or whatever it may be, being Angie the psychologist. You know, I tried to talk people out of panicking or you know, because the hardest thing to do is to have a farmer call you when the market's down 25 cents or something of that nature, and asking what they should do, and you saying, oh, just, you know, be patient, it's okay. And then watching it be down another 25 cents the next day, and trying to convince them that eventually it's going to turn around, just because they get, you know, it's like a horse in a fire. You know, they don't care if you're trying to help them or not. They're just freaked out. And so you always have to prepare customers for that level of issue. You know, it's just like you are always prepared to be able to step in and be a buyer. You've always got to be able to, or I've always got to be able to prepare customers that, hey, this could happen. It's not the end of the world if it does happen. But if it were to happen and it does feel like it would be the end of the world to you, then you need to make a plan ahead of time. You know, you need to, if, you know, I've been kind of yelling on Twitter today since that report came out. You know, at the time you and I are talking here, beans are up 27, almost 30 cents. You know, it's a significant gain on where we were at yesterday's close. If a farmer has beans sitting in an elevator that he's getting ready to pay storage on, it's probably not a bad idea to go ahead and take advantage of some of this upside and get a plan in place, get some sold, maybe do some option ownership further out or something like that. You know, it's one of those things where you have to kind of value or evaluate your risk versus your reward. And so to have that headline risk in there, I have to talk to customers as, you know, that's part of the risk versus reward ratio that they have to look at, is if something like that were to happen and the market were to collapse in the short term, what would that mean for your overall operation? And so those are the conversations that we have, you know, have to have, whether it's China, you know, Chinese soybean buying or NAFTA or what's going on in North Korea or, you know, any of that stuff. We just have to kind of make sure that everyone's aware of what that could mean for the market and what a market move like that would mean for their operation.
Right. I mean, I understand all that, but what I'm saying is, isn't it your job and my job to educate these people not to panic and puke when these things happen? Isn't that what we should be doing? I mean, again, I'm talking to you. Listen, you're like, you know, we're buddies. So I'm trying to, you know, say, hey, isn't it our job to step in front and say, hey, you know, really think about what you're trying to do here, because usually panic and puke never works, right?
Yeah. Calm the F down. If you're in a situation where, you are panicking, you're already too far gone. You know what I mean? If you allow yourself to be a business owner, and get into the situation where you feel panic, you've probably missed a turn somewhere anyway. You know what I mean? And that's my goal, is to have guys already, be, you know, mostly marketed before this point in the year. You know, I would much rather have my customers have $4 hedges on, you know, ahead of time, with the risk of maybe seeing it go up a little bit more in June or July, but knowing that they're making money at $4, than trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do in October when it's $3.50. You know, so that is my goal, is to try and make sure that these guys have plans in place to avoid getting into the situation where now they have to try to figure out, you know, how to get smoke back in the cigarette kind of deal. So, yeah, I mean, you're dead on accurate with that. Is our job is to help devise the plan or make traders aware of what is available to them well before they're actually the standpoint of where they have to make a decision.
No, right. And that's what I'm trying to say. So, I mean, you agree. I know we both agree. And this is the big thing. That's why I say, you know, it's like, you know, when we get in the summer, when, right, like around July 4th, you usually get a rally, you know, everybody's worried about the weather and you get all these reports. And I go, okay, great. But at the end of the day, those are opportunities. You don't, a guy just texted me and said, should I step in and buy corn here? I'm worried. I said, well, let's see what happens at 355 first. I mean, that's my resistance level. Why would I want to jump in now and chase it up when it's up? You know, you should have been buying it this morning when it was 345, not looking at it at 353. And this is a very common tool. Yeah. You know, right? You agree with that?
Oh yeah. 100%. That's what you can't look at a market once it's in between, if it's a tweener, if it's in the middle of a move, you know what I mean? In the middle of a move kind of deal. And that's where we're at right now. Soybeans broke above 985. Does that mean you buy right now? No, they're 992. They got to test 10 bucks. You know what I mean? You've got to break that next level. The buy side was 965 or 960 you know, what you could have had this morning.
Hold that thought, my darling. Hold on. I got to go to a break, but I'm coming back because we're going to hear talk more about this with Susie Sunshine, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, my friend. And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. And don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which you can get right at bubbatrading.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with Angie Setzer after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, with the goddess of grains herself, Angie Setzer, the vice president of grains at Systems Elevator. And okay, Angie, so go ahead, finish your soybean story, because I know we were down and that would have been the time to be stepping in, because again, they've already pricing in a pretty bearish report. So how much bearish would it be, right?
Oh yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'll welcome all buyers. You want to come in and buy right now, have at it. I just can't guarantee it'll be a profitable deal for you. You know, like you said, you have to test your 355 first to see what happens. You know, the time to buy was on the support there at that 345. And now is the time to see what, you know, if anything new, anyone else comes in with more money than what I'm going to throw at this thing, you know, at this point in time. And it's the same. It's the same across the board. We're really kind of seeing the support levels there. We're seeing some opportunities there. I guess you could still look at buying some wheat. That's what everyone seems to still be depressed over, global wheat numbers, which I think is foolish because we're still looking at China holding on to 48% of the overall supply. And that's never going to make it into the world pipeline if it even gets eaten by the Chinese people, you know, because it's such poor quality. So, the wheat market itself, I think, is you still have a good opportunity to buy because 430 range has been our support as of late. So, you know, here we sit, we're in some good prime spots to kind of put up or shut up, see if we can get another leg up to the upside. But now that we've traded through the resistance, if we can hold them today, then they become our new support and we can see what we have in store on the way up, hopefully.
No, I couldn't agree more. And of course I had my guys in, my spec traders that, you know, just the speculators who, I, you know, have a service for that. And of course we were long soybeans and we had to stop in at 962, which we didn't hit. And then I said, so now we broke above, you know, we were long since 945. I said, now move that stop up to 975 because 977 is my number. If it comes back down, then it's probably going to crumble. But right now it looks like it's got a better chance to head to 10. But let's not give away the profits. But again, now I have that 977. I've got a big lead. I'm going to lock in 30 cents of profit. And now I'm going to play with it. And hopefully, listen, maybe it'll go to 1050. I have no idea. You know, but that's the way that you play these markets. And that's one of the things that I think many people miss out on is the way to really understand it. But what you really want to do is just like you do in stocks or anything else, you want to buy something when nobody else wants it. Because that's usually the time that it's getting ready to turn. Now, it may take a few days, and we're not always going to have a report to boost it. But that's what you kind of look for in the markets, because that's the masses are always wrong.
They are. I mean, that's if you're getting in when everyone else is, you're probably on the wrong. You know, you're probably it's the wrong way to be. You know what I mean? Like it's I agree with you on that one. The masses are always wrong. Now, you can sometimes be one of the first ones of the masses to scalp a little bit of money out of it. The reality is once you feel comfortable making a decision completely, entirely on a trade, it's probably too late. At least that's how I've always felt, is as soon as you know for sure that it's a good deal, or that it's something you should take, you've probably missed the boat.
Oh, no, you're 100% right there. That's exactly the key. Is we have to be able to get our emotions out of the trade, because in anything that you do that's emotional, and I always use this example, but you know, you're married, you got a baby now, and I'm sure that, you know, I know you love your husband, everything's great, but every day ain't Christmas either, right? And I'm sure, yeah, in knowing you, that there might have been a time where you might have said something that once it came out of your mouth, you wish you could have taken it back, but it was too late already. And that's what I try to tell everybody is, when you're trading, when you're trying to get in, think about what you're doing. Look at it from a logic standpoint. And when you get that urge to chase the markets up or down because everybody's doing it, that's the time you got to look and think about it. What do you think about that?
No, I agree 100%. It's exactly, you know, it's exactly the same thing as what I was just saying. You know, you have to use the common sense approach. You have to come at the market knowing why you're doing something or what you intend to gain by doing it. And so to have someone else make that decision for you is impossible too. So I always question, or I always get frustrated sometimes with the analysts telling farmers exactly what they should be doing. Cause it's like, no one knows your exact operation. No one knows what you're really dealing with, you know, overall and except for you. So you're the one that has to make that decision. And it's the same in trade. I mean, of course you want to look out and listen to people and gain some insight as to what's happening out there that would generate or cause the market to move in one direction or the other. But no one can make that decision whether you're going to buy or sell better than you can, you know, and that's what it needs to be. Because once, like you said, once the masses are moving in that direction and it's a no-brainer, it's probably gone. Your opportunity is long gone. Like right now, your opportunity is 26 cents gone. You know, that's the chance you're looking at. You could spend 26 cents on soybeans and we could close the day today back down at 965. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. It won't be the last time. It's definitely something that we've got to keep an eye on. You know, it's one of those things where as soon as it's clear what we need to do, that opportunity will likely be, you know, we'll be having to look at the next opportunity.
Right. And that's, you know, like I said, one of the things that you just have to be in this business is you got to be not willing to do something on your own and not chase the crowd. And I think that that's just a much bigger deal that people don't pay attention to. And that's when, you know, you get yourself into trouble and that becomes, you know, an ordeal that we deal with. And listen, we all deal with it. We all have our own demons that we deal with. And, you know, everybody gets a little bit greedy. You know, it happens to everybody. It's not like it's just one person. But I think that's where the things happen. And one of the things that really bothers me, you brought it up when you're talking with the analysts that come on. And I hate when they talk their book. You know, I had a guy one time call me off of TV. He saw me on TV and he came screaming at me right afterwards because he had a big position one way. And I was talking that I liked the market the other way. Okay. And I was I was right. But I said, I called him. I said, look, what is wrong with you? Okay. I said, you ever make a bad trade in your life? He says, yeah. I said, well, this is what they call making a market. You want to buy, I want to sell, or vice versa. That's the thing. Don't call me. Don't call me with an emergency phone call and give me your position. So you want me to talk your book on my spot. I don't talk anybody's book. Yeah. I talk my opinion just like I see it, just like I'm talking with you right now. What do you think?
No, I agree 100%. My job is here to I feel my job is to help my customers, you know, make smart decisions as they work their way in. You know, as they have to make smart decisions, you know, based on what they need to do. So it's right now I've got a customer that, you know, he's texting me. I'm doing double duty right now. He's got a big chunk of soybeans. You know, his production's been decent. He's got 50,000 bushels that he's trying to figure out what to do with them. And I'm telling him to sell them. And he wants to chat with me about it. I can tell, but I'm getting nervous because the market is starting to kind of deflate a little bit. Not saying that we won't gain another dime, but we're off 8 cents from the high, which tends to be a bad omen, or it can be. I mean, it doesn't always have to be, but there's been plenty of times where you're like, oh, we're just down 8, no big deal. And next thing you know, you're down 30. Just because the sellings come in, the pressures hit really hard and the market starts to fall apart. So to me, you know, I really want to see this guy, get his bushels locked in and, you know, it gets nerve wracking here because you just, the risk that is there with the market structure itself and what can happen in a quick market move. But I'm not going to speak their position for them. And so that's what, you know, a customer will come to me and he wants me to tell him why the market needs to go higher. And so many times you'll see that on the Saturday morning TV shows is you'll get a whole bunch of people on there kind of slapping each other on the back with all of the reasons that the market has to go higher, completely ignoring the risk that we would be facing if the market were to not do that. You know, so a lot of times, yeah, they'll preach their book or they'll preach the farmer book. And that's the risk that you see with that it's just always something that scares me. And I've seen it so many times this summer, even, you know, where you get a customer that you can be talking to and you can have a plan in place and everything looks great. And you've decided what you need to do and the plan is perfect. And all of a sudden they'll see someone on or they'll read something that says why the market should go over and above what their planned pricing level is. And next thing you know, they pull their orders and they wait and they end up losing. And that's worse than anything. I mean, I have to just talk about what I see. I can't preach a book at all or preach a side of a trade that someone wants me to preach. It's impossible for me.
No, I mean, like I said, it doesn't make sense. Why would you want to mislead someone? And that's what bothers me about this. It happens in equities. It happens everywhere. Because the guys that are advising, they make money if you're in. If you're trading, they're making money. If you're not, then they're not. And that's what really pisses me off about the whole business is that you get guys that don't take what farmers are unique individuals to begin with, right? We've talked about that before. The way they live, the way they work, their honesty and integrity is really second to none from my perspective, because every time I've ever dealt with them, you know, I never have an issue, right? And in fact, if things don't go exactly to plan, I feel really bad because I want to help them because I know nobody else is there. Everybody's trying to stick them with a knife out there, and it's, you know, they get taken advantage of more than anybody else. And that's one thing that I don't like about the industry that I'm in is that, you know, there's people out that are always trying to grab on, you know, and I know I'm gonna let you come in, but I don't know if I should let you come in now or you only got about 30 seconds before I got to go to break.
I have plenty of thoughts about that.
You're going to come back. When you come back to the break, you're going to give me all your thoughts. And I know you do, but that's why I didn't want to do it now. Cause I know that you'd end up, I'd have to cut you off anyway. So instead of cutting you off, I'll cut myself off and tell everybody that I'm with Angie Setzer, who is Susie Sunshine today. Very happy today, which makes me happy. And I'm just kidding. And she is the goddess of grains. And we love having her on. And I love talking to her. And I like when she tweets me. And, of course, you can get the Bubba Show and listen to Angie Setzer if you go to libertytalk.fm anytime you want. And, of course, don't forget about Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you at BubbaTrading.com. You can just go right there and fill out the link on there, and I'll send it to you free every day after the close of the equity markets. And I cover it all, a little bit of farming, a little bit of equities, and certainly you can sign up for that, and I will send it to you, a little 4 to 5 minute video. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and the vice versa of grains. This is all better. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you guys better load up because we got Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and the vice president of Grains Citizens Elevator, and I gave her a loaded question, and I know she's chopping to lay me away. So go for it, my darling.
But no, we took that break. Give me the phrase of the question. I got plenty of thoughts. What were we talking about
We're talking about how I feel that the farmers are really great people and they do a lot to try to make things better. And unfortunately, a lot of these brokers
like to take a piece of that action, right?
They always want to take advantage of them because it's easy to do because, you know, if they don't understand something, you know, they just go and sign up for it and then they end up getting stuck up their potatoes. And I think that's always a problem. And that's something that really bothers me. So that's kind of where we were.
Yeah. No, it is. And that's, I needed you to remind me of that just because I have all of these thoughts and I didn't want to go off on a completely unrelated tangent, which has happened before. You may not have noticed, but it's been there. No, I think that's the thing. And I think that's why I don't tend to have too many friends in the industry myself is because I've seen it quite often. And one of the biggest struggles I have right now is that between 2007 and 2013, the volatility in the market increased in a way that we had never seen before. So you had this whole new group of people that could come in and preach to farmers the benefits of using options in their marketing strategy. And it made sense. I mean, you could buy, you know, spend some money on a put and see it gain value, or spend some money on a call, especially, you know, when the market was rallying big time throughout those years with the demand explosion and all that went along with it. You know, you could buy a call and have it be beneficial to you. So we saw this entire industry build up based on the massive amounts of commissions. I mean, you could talk to anyone that runs a brokerage business and they'll probably tell you how great their expansion was. You know, they couldn't keep enough people employed to make up with the demand. Well, unfortunately, now that's disappeared. Your volatility is basically non-existent in the market. We're kind of stuck in ranges. You know, it's very difficult to preach and sell an option strategy. So now you have people getting even more creative on the option strategies that they're putting out there and the things that they're doing, all of which basically to continue to try to generate the commission money that they were making, you know, during the peak volatility, open interest, you know, all of these where every farmer needed a helping hand to maintain profitability. He was making too much money. He was just using it to spend. I mean, you had brokers that were very new to the industry that were taking home seven-figure commission checks by selling, you know, scalping options with these farmers and things like that. Well, guess what? That money is not necessarily there now. So now we're seeing people try to generate commissions in different or unique ways, some of which that don't work. I mean, we've had different marketing groups that came out and you know, crop insurance pricing was put out at $3.96 here at the end of February. So it's essentially a government sponsored put. And you had a different group that came out and said, hey, you know, buy a $3.90 put, December corn put, spend 30 cents on it. You know, here's an opportunity to buy a $3.90 put when farmers were already covered below $3.90 and they purchased a crop insurance plan on a good percentage of their crop already. And if they were worried that the board was going to fall below 390, they had every opportunity to sell futures, you know, at that level. So we've just seen this whole new, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing sort of enterprise. And I'm not saying all brokers are like that. I know a lot of really awesome people, but there seems to be this desire still to feed off from, you know, for lack of a better term, some of the ignorance that farmers still hold when it comes to trading, whether it's options or different types of accumulator contracts that elevators use or something like that. There's this whole level of preying on that in order to put money on your bottom line. And I can't do it. That's why I work in the elevator. I don't work off from commissions or anything like that, because I've done commissions in the past, and it can make even the most ethical person start to question, you know, what they're able to do if it comes down to feeding your family or not. And so I really struggle with that whole side of the industry.
Well, I'm sure, listen, there's always some nice people in every industry, but the majority are not, just by the fees that they charge and what they do. And I think this is something that, you know, I don't believe that you would put something ahead of anybody else. I don't think you would churn somebody just to be able to do something else. That's my opinion. And I may be wrong. You don't have to answer that, but I don't think you would do that. That's my opinion. I don't think you'd ever do that to anybody. I think you're going to always be as straight as you can, because that's the way you speak and that's the way that's who you are. So I wouldn't ever worry about you. You know, if you're helping me, I'm going to listen to you all the way, because I know you got my best interest. And I think that's one of the big problems. And that's why I don't like when I have these guys that have no skin in the game, you know, talking about stuff like they do, and they never do. Now, you and I both have skin in the game when we talk about it, because I mean, that's what I talk about. I talk about it all the time. So anyways, on a better subject. So, you know, we've seen, we did enough bashing. I got to be nice. So we did.
Yeah. We're nice guys. We're nice people. So let's go in the nice people direction.
Exactly. I mean, look at, I said my piece. I would say it to their face too. I'm not, you know, one thing about me, I think you do the same thing. I'd say it right in your mouth. I mean, I don't even care. I could care less. Yeah. So, but one thing we look at now is, you mentioned hogs going to Mexico. Now, let me ask a question. If we don't sell them, who's going to sell them? Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same as what you see in grain. Is your extra freight cost elsewhere is going to come into play somewhere. So it is going to be one of those things where our demand will probably still be just as good as what it had ever been. It's just in the short term. And with hogs already kind of holding on by a string, it's the last thing you want to see, especially since we've upped our kill capacity. But it's life. I mean, I don't think there's any hog producer out there that's in it to get rich. I don't know why else he's in it, but I think they're all perfectly used to getting their buns handed to them, kind of deal. And yeah, even if there is a little blip in the ability to see, or in pork exports as a whole, I don't think it lasts forever. And that demand stays there. But with us increasing overall capacity or overall supply, or our ability to produce a big supply, you know, this is where we're sitting, and what we're unfortunately relying upon is that the market, you know, that we don't have that headline concern.
And I think that hogs go lower from here. I think I've said my call was when they were in the 50s, I said 62 was the number I was looking for. We got there. We got a little higher. But I think now they go back down into the 50s. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think they're going to be fine. Overall, I like the ag space a lot, all of it. But right now, I think that that feeders and hogs need to go lower, and you'll probably see fats go a little bit lower because they've obviously had a beautiful rally. Last time you talked, I said I was a buyer at 105, and they're now 119. Yeah. So what do you think of all that?
Well, I agree. I think that you see some support stay in place. I think, you know, we've seen hogs take a jump here as of late and kind of now have flattened back out again. But I'm looking at cattle more than anything. And what I really saw today that was interesting, you know, here it's Thursday, was the lower kill weights. So typically when the market falls off like it has and the cash market structure has been as poor as what it has been, you tend to see farmers or those who are in charge of feedlots hold their supplies off the market. So you tend to see, you know, with lower prices, you will see weights creep up because people are, you know, you're keeping them out of the pipeline, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not seeing those weights creep up. And so that's interesting to me is that, you know, we're obviously pulling some supplies ahead, I would say, perhaps. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know if people were panicked and sold into a market thinking it was potentially moving a bunch lower or what. But, you know, your lower kill weights would indicate, of course, you have to kill more to generate the same amount of meat production as what you would have otherwise. In addition to that, it indicates that the supplies sitting out there in those feedlots aren't being overfed or aren't being held back like we thought they were. So what does that mean for demand in the future, you know, or for supply in the future if we're already kind of dipping into those lower weights? So I think cattle have got some pretty decent upside. The USDA is anticipating an uptick in exports next year. You know, they're expecting the Chinese business to really kind of kick into gear a bit more than what we've seen here as of late. You know, I would say from an overall standpoint, nothing, in my opinion, has significantly changed.
All right. I gotta change you. Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains. Yeah. You are awesome. Love having you on. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I always love it.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day. You get to hear Angie and people like her and also Bubba's Daily Update. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Oh, actually, not tomorrow. We'll see you back here on Monday. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.